Take me up to there.
For both sides, first I want to wish everyone a great winter zman. After the Chagim, which we miss already, we're going to study in Birkas Hashem the Melachos of Shabbos. In some cases, we'll go through the sugyas inside, but in some cases, the Gemara itself is very abridged. It doesn't say much about the Melachos. And the bulk of the Iyun is in the Rishonim, Poskim. So one great example of that is going to be the first one on the list here is Melechus Oreah, where there's more outside the Shas than inside the Shas. So the Mishnah lists Amos, Melechus, Arboim, Chaser Achas. The Pnei Yoshua here is interested in the number 40. You know, why mention 40? There are only 39. And he makes what I thought was a cute comment. I didn't know if he was serious about it, but he said that the Mishnah wants us to remember that there are 39 malchus that we give to a person who violates a law. And even though the Torah says 40, it means 39. And he says that in Shabbos, I have a few photocopies if anybody needs. Anyone who's able to hold on to these pages, it'll save me a tremendous amount of work for tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. With regard to Torah Sh'bal Peh, we come to the conclusion that you only give he who violates the law only gets 39 malchus. And Shabbos, in that sense, becomes a paradigmic example of Torah Sh'bal Peh, because there's so little in Torah Shebichsav. Basically, the Torah says Kol Melech Lo Sasa, and then there are a couple of psukim here, there, or elsewhere. Lo Savaro Eish B'Chol Moshe Oseichem Al Yetzish Mimkomo B'Yom HaShabbos. There's very little in the written Torah. And this is a comment that's made by whom? Anybody remember? Who makes this comment about Shabbos, that Shabbos is basically Torah Sh'bal Peh? Yeah, which Mishnah? You remember? Excellent, the Mishnah Chagiga. There's a Baki Vashas right over here. The Mishnah Chagiga. Getting me scared, Rabbi. You know, if you're quoting Chagiga, I'm in deep trouble here. So I'm trying to plow my way through Masechta Shabbos. But the Mishnah Chagiga actually says that the Hilcha Shabbos are like Harim Hatluya Vesara, like a mountain that's dependent upon a hair. Because it's miut b'mikra u'meruba b'Torah Sh'bal Peh. It's mostly Torah Sh'bal Peh. So that when we read this Mishnah and we look at the Mishnah says that there are 40 chaser achas. It's telling us to think about Torah Sh'bal Peh. The Pnei Yeshua is also interested in the Seder ha'avos here. And basically he divides up our Mishnah into five different categories. I'll read to you the five categories. He says the first category, which encompasses 11 melachos, that's called Sidur de Pas, which is Gemara later on in Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. But from hence on, this is already the Pnei Yeshua's own Chiddush. The Gemara doesn't group together the other sets of melachos, but the Pnei Yeshua does that for us. And he says, from number 12 and on, for 13 melachos, we have hachanas begadim. So the Mishnah starts with food. Food is the basic staple of life. And then we go on to begadim. And that gives us another 13 melachos. So if anybody has a calculator here, you could add it all together. Then he has 7 be'ibud oros, right? That's tanning and so forth. Then he has 2 melachos of ksiva. He has 2 malachas of binyan, 2 malachas of eish, and 1 malacha which is called makavapatish, is called gmar malach, and finally the last on the list is hotzah mirshus lishus. And we'll see exactly what the seder is. We certainly understand that the Mishnah starts with sidur de pas. Now, these 11 malachos that begin with zoreah and end with ofer. So let's just throw out a couple of questions here. Number one, why start with Zoreah? This is going to be the Gemara's question. We should have started with Choresh because technically Harisha comes before Zriah. Another question is, why is it that the list of Sidur Depas ends with Ofer? What about Mevashel? Because the reason why Mevashel, anybody have a clue as to why Mevashel is a better candidate than Ofer?
Wasn't in the Mishkan.
Well, the Mishkan. Yes and no. I mean, this is the famous Chakir of the Igle Tal. Ofer was in the Mishkan to prepare what breads? No, I'm talking about Ofer. But we'll get to Bishol in a second. You're right, Sam. But as far as Ofer is concerned, was for the Lechem Aponim. So the basic Chakira here of the Igle Tal in his introduction to Masechta Shabbos is when we speak about Melecha Shabbos, we derive so many conclusions from the equation to Mishkan, and the two parashios of Mishkan and Shabbos are contiguous in Parashas Vayakel. And for example, that's going to teach us that just like there are 39 different melachas for creating the Mishkan, so too the 39 different melachas on Shabbos. It's also going to teach us the famous super overarching halacha of what? Meleches Machsheves. That's derived from Mishkan. Nowhere in Shabbos does it say Meleches Machsheves, only says it in Mishkan. And not only that, but it's going to define, at least according to Shita Satosvis, a Melacha Tzricha Legufa, meaning, according to the Shita of Reb Shimon, that requires a Melacha Tzricha Legufa, what is Tzricha Legufa? What need do I have for this Melacha? And the answer is, says Tosvis, is a Tosan Dafai and Hey, is that the Mishkan is going to define for me what the need is for each Melacha. But comes along the Igle Tal, he wants to know the following. When we derive 39 melachas in Shabbos from 39 melachas of Mishkan, and that's a Gemara on Daf Mem Tes, he wants to know what constitutes, what qualifies as Meleches HaMishkan. Is it Meleches B'niyas HaMishkan, the building of the Mishkan, or is it any melach that was done in the Mishkan, even if it was done in the context of preparing for the Karbonos? That also gets a status of Meleches HaMishkan. Now, if we accept the tzad, I call it the broader scope definition of Meleches HaMishkan, the second tzad in the Igle Tal's Chakira, then Ofer fits in very beautifully here. Because the afiyah of the Shteil Lechem, although it has, of the Lechem HaPonim, although it has nothing to do with building the Mishkan, but nevertheless, it is part of the Meleches HaMishkan, in the Avoda sense, in the Karbonos sense. But if I take the more narrow definition of the Igle Tal, namely that Meleches HaMishkan means B'niyas HaMishkan, then the word afiyah here is an improper definition or description of this Melech. The more proper one would be, as Sam said before, Bishul, because what was Bishul in terms of building the Mishkan? Correct, the Samamonim. And the purpose of Bishul HaSamamonim was to create this dye, D-Y-E, that was used to color the Urios. That's part of the Meleches B'niyas HaMishkan. And therefore, we have to figure out why the Mishnah, according to that side, would have mentioned Afiyah and not Bishul. That's another question. I'm just throwing out, you know, this is sort of like a question and answer day. I don't know if it's question and answer, at least question day. Another question that I wanted to raise with you is the following question. We have in the first 11 Melachas Sidura Depas. Is that just a mnemonic device, you know, that makes it easier for us to remember? Like when we, you know, when we test the children here in this country, Baruch Hashem, the young children can tell you, they can spit back this Mishnah to you by heart. Mm-hmm. This is like the first Mishnah they learn about Pez, the 39 Melachos. This is very common here in Israel. So maybe Sidur Depas is a way for the Rebbe to stop him after the first 11 and say, oh, you know the first 11, that's great. You know, you get already a grade for knowing the first 11. Or does the fact that these 11 Melachos integrate to form a whole, an entity called Sidur Depas, does that have halachic significance? It's not just that these are 11 melachos that start with Harish and Zriya and culminate with Afiyah and Bishul in order to prepare a pas. But more than that, there's some interconnection here between the melachos. The melachos feed one into the other, and that has a great deal of significance. Does anybody know what I might have in mind here? What halacha might be justified, halachic conclusion, which is a very big issue in the poskim, if I assume that Sidur de Pas is kind of an entity, it's a sequence that is meaningful not just physically in the mitzias of the world, but it's meaningful halachically.
If you did two of malachas within that category.
I don't know that there's any difference, Joel, but if you have a rife, that I'd be fascinated. If there's any difference between two malachas within the category or a malacha within that category and a malacha outside that category. I don't know of any difference.
I think maybe you think it's Zorach Ochel Nefesh by Yontif.
Well, Yontif would be an interesting question about malachas Ochel Nefesh, but we're learning the Mishnah of Shabbos. Well, let me ask you a question. What's the shear of Malechas Zriah? I mean, this is going to be a whole discussion that we'll have. Well, that's a machlokas. And the Rambam says that Zoreah is Chayav B'kol Shehu. That's what the Rambam says. So, Mulutzim Ritz Hashem, if we have a Rambam here, I forgot to bring a Rambam in. Yeah, open up if you don't mind, Perek Ches Milchas Shabbos, and we'll see the Rambam. Rashi, on the other hand, seems to be of the opinion, I mean, this is going to be an issue in Rashi, that Rashi seems to assume that Zoreah also requires a shear.
Where is that?
The Rashi, we'll get to the Rashi Harvey in just a minute. I know you're very eager to get to the Rashi, but I'm just giving an overall introduction here. So trust me on this, and you're not relying on me, you're relying on the Prima Gadim. You know, that's one of my favorite Achronim, is the Prima Gadim. He was Medayik in Rashi the Mishnah. Now it's your job to find it in Rashi the Mishnah, that Meleches Zoreah requires a shear.
This is looking Choresh.
Right, he only mentions Choresh, Rashi as the exception. But before we get to the Rashi inside, let's just think conceptually outside. One could argue that Zoreah, like Choresh, should not require a shear. Because in both cases, you're preparing the karka for what we call tzmicha, for growth. And when you can prepare the karka, anything that prepares the karka should be chayv. Maybe you don't need a shear. Now, before we answer that question, why Rashi insists that Zoreah does require a shear, let's ask a different question. What would be the shear? And to answer that question, we have to ask a third question. What is the shear for all malachas of Sidur de Pas? All of them.
Okay.
With the exception, perhaps, of Choresh, right? Kigro Geretz. And it's fascinating. The Mishnah at the end of Kal Gadol, on Daf Ayin Vav, says that even for Meleches Hotzah, for carrying Ochlin, in the case of Ochlin, you're only high if you carry a Gogeres. So on both sides, what relationship do we see here between two concepts?
Sure.
Ochlin and Gogeres. Does everybody see that? Mm-hmm. Why do I establish that relationship between Ochlin and Gogeres? Because you might have said, well, grogeres is meaningful if I want to eat a grogeres. You know, you give me a piece of bread to eat, don't give me less than a grogeres. You know, a fig's worth. You know, how stingy can you be? You know, give me at least a fig's worth of ochlin. But in the case of Hotzah, the motzi is not, although he's carrying ochlin, he's not eating the ochlin. Maybe somebody else will eat the ochlin, but certainly not the motzi. Why is he bound by this shear of gogeres? And the answer is because there's a relationship between ochlin and gogeres. So whenever I have ochlin, ipso facto, I have gogeres. Now, if that be the case, then maybe if what links together Sidur de Pas as one entity is not just as a remembering, you know, as advice to help you remember it, but there's a conceptual interdependency between this malach and the other, then it could be that Rashi holds that the shear of Zoreah is the same grogeres, because ultimately, what's my purpose in planting? Just like all the other Sidur de Pas, I want to end up with what? In the way the Mishnah organized it, I want to end up with a pas. Correct? That's what the Mishnah says. There are 11 malachas that culminate in a pas. It's kind of like, you know, they say that when you're when you look at a piece of bread here in Eretz Yisrael, you know, you think about all the mitzvahs that they were makayim in that piece of bread. You know, starting with being careful about kelayim and going on to afrashas challah, trumas and maizes and all. Right, so that's the holiness of a piece of bread in Eretz Yisrael. Here too, if you take a look at all these malachas, they all come, they culminate in this halaga pas. That's what we want to create, this pas. So Rashi holds, if all these malachas are leading to one ultimate goal, namely to create what?
Right.
A pas, then what is the shear of a pas? The shear of a pas is a grogeres, and therefore the shear of Zrio, which starts this process, is going to be a grogeres.
The Zrio is to grow a grogeres, or a seed?
I don't know. So that's going to be the discussion here that I just found out about it. It's going to be a major pluto, where the seed itself is a grogeres, or what grows out of that seed is a grogeres. So let's just oversimplify matters for ourselves now, just for pedagogical purposes. Let's assume that ultimately what's going to grow from this zera is going to be, what am I going to be motzi from this zriya? What am I going to squeeze out? A minimum of what? Of a gogeres of pas. And Rashi holds that this interdependence of the seder called sidur de pas is going to force Rashi to the position that just like the balance of the malachas of Sidur Pas require a grogeres, even Hotzah requires a grogeres insofar as I'm being Motzi Ochlin, is Rashi went a step further and he said, therefore Zriya requires a grogeres, or as you say, Sam, maybe to produce a grogeres. Then the question becomes, what about Meleches Harisha? In the case of Choresh, Rashi agrees that Yechayev for a culture. And that's problematic because if we're saying that there's an interdependence in Sidur de Pas, the first, the kickoff of the 11 malachas that form this Sidur de Pas is Meleches Harisha. So if there's an interdependence and the ultimate goal is to create this Pas, then Meleches Choresh should also be Chayev for a culture. I'm sorry, should also be Chayev for a shear of grogeres. I have another question here that I wanted to raise with you, and I'm not sure if it's a valid question. I haven't seen anyone raise this question, but it should be in the literature. If you take a look at the Rambam and the Rambam's list of Meleches Shabbos, you'll find a slight difference between the Rambam and our mission. And I'm wondering if this slight difference is more than just a haphazard grammatical observation. Okay, then, so you take a look, for example, at the Mishnah and start with Zorea, Choresh, Kotzer, etc. Right? Keep your finger on the Mishnah. And I'm going to read the Rama.
Where is the Rama?
The Rama is Perek Zayin Milchus Shabbos. Halach Aleph. The Rama says, Milachos Melachos shechayovin aleihem skila, etc. Is mehen avos man toldos who minyan kol avos melachos arboim chaser achas. You know why the Rambam is forced to say chaser arboim chaser achas? I do not know. V'eluhen, okay. V'eluhen. So I don't want to confuse you in terms of the order of the Mishnah. So I'm going to switch around the order of the Rambam just so that we don't get sidetracked here, because that's another issue why the Rambam changes the order of the Mishnah. But that's not what I want to focus your attention on. The Rambam says Zriya, Harisha, Ktsira, etc. What does the Mishnah say?
Hazorea,
Hachoresh, Vakotzer. In other words, the Rambam is talking about what? Let's say we divide up every malach into two parts. There's what?
The action
of the person, and then there's the action of the person, and then there's what? The result of the action, correct?
Yeah.
You know, in my Shiur Mederech HaLibud, this was always very, very fundamental. There's the Maisa, which is what the Gavra is implementing, and then there's the Totsah Samaisa, you know, the ultimate. So the Rambam, as opposed to the Mishnah, is not emphasizing whom? The Gavra. He's emphasizing the Malach itself. meaning the accomplishment. There's a Zriah here going on, there's a Harisha going on. Whereas the Mishnah, on the other hand, is emphasizing the person who's preoccupied with the Malach. And I thought that maybe we could give a very lovdasha answer to the question of why you would choose this way or choose the other way. Meaning, what would lead you to prefer the malacha per se? What would lead you and entice you to emphasize the person? Anybody?
The result.
Why would you emphasize the result, and why would you emphasize the gavra and the Zoreah, the Choresh, and the Kotzer? What would move you this direction or that direction?
You can't do it without them.
Correct, but why? So Harvey, you're voting in favor of the person, right? So the person is the Zoreah. There's no such thing as Zoreah and Shabbos that just happens memela. Nobody's going to be chayav for that. You have to have a Zoreah, correct? So you're voting for that.
Shear,
but that doesn't... go ahead.
Shiur doesn't lend itself to the person.
Okay, maybe if the Mishnah wants to give a shiurim, I don't know, the subject of the Mishnah is not shiurim, but what else?
The Mishnah said, Arbim Chaser Achat, because of the punishment, so we're talking about...
Okay. That's good, Yonatan. Hold on to that. That's going to be my fallback position. But I think I have something better to say. Okay, I'll tell you in a minute what Yonatan was saying. I don't want to give that away, because I think Yonatan has a technical answer to the question. I'd rather prefer a conceptual answer to the question.
What about the Einu Miskaven?
Well, let's leave that Einu Miskaven, but you're very hot. Okay, leave that Einu Miskaven. Let's talk about what? Sricha Legufa. So Tzricha L'Gufa or Eina Tzricha L'Gufa is machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Again, I only know this because of what we did in El. So now, according to Rav Shimon, it's not enough to create a result. I also need what? Tzricha L'Gufa. What's Tzricha L'Gufa? What did you say, Harvey?
A
machshava, correct. A machshava. I'm going to leave out the word kavana for a minute, because then we're going to get sidetracked with Dovah Sheni Miskavi, which I don't want to get sidetracked with, because Tosa seems to assume that everybody's on board in terms of Shabbos and the Dovah Sheni Miskavi, your part. But leaving out that, in terms of Tzricha L'Gufa or Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. So if I was in the camp of Reb Shimon, and I held that Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter, where would I tip, in which direction would I tip the scale? You're now Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but you agree with Rav Shimon that Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter, so how would you formulate the Mishnah? In terms of the Maisa or the Totsasa Maisa?
Maisa.
The Maisa, correct. So it could be that the Mishnah is reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And therefore the Mishnah says, Hazoreah. Hazoreah means that the Zriah was not just a result of his action, but it was part of his goal and his plan. If it wasn't part of his goal and his plan, then it's a Malach Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa and you be Potter. Why then? Again, now what I'm about to say is wrong, but conceptually it's right. Why then would the Rambam perhaps be interested in dropping the ball on the person, on the Zoreah, and shifting our focus to the Totsas HaMaisa, to the Zriah? Excellent. Because Rabbi Yehuda's Malach Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa Chayev, and therefore the Tzorech is not significant. If that be the case, we don't analyze a malach from the perspective of the tzorach, but rather from the perspective of the final result. Again, kavana you need. But that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But you don't need tzricha l'gufa. So what you need the malacha for is irrelevant from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective. How do I know that the Rama paskins like Rabbi Yehuda? That's Perek Aleph Milch Shabbos, and the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. I believe it's Halacha Gimel. Let's see if I'm right. Right, the Rambam says that anyone who does a Halacha, as long as he... as long as he does it mirtzono, and as he wasn't forced to do the malacha, but in halacha zayin he says kol osa malacha b'shabbos afal pishenu tzarech l'gufa shal malacha chayev olecha. So perek aleph halacha Zayin. So it could be that Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, you have Aleph, comma, Zayin, now switch it around, Zayin, comma, Aleph, is one and the same. The Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph is the same as the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, meaning, Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv according to Rav Shimon, that's according to Rav Yehuda, that's how we paskin. Therefore, drop the ball in the Zoreya, put all the emphasis on the Zriya Tzah. But Yonatan Lachor is making a point that's very true. It could be that the Rambam and the Mishnah they're both goal oriented, but they're oriented towards two different goals. And the answer to my question here about the Shinui Lashon here is purely technical. The Mishnah is trying to establish what. Well, what's the significance of the number 39? The Gemara is going to ask this question. Can't I count to 39? I don't know. Well, after 39 it gets questionable. But I can count to 39, right? So why did the Mishnah have to tell me how many malachas there are? So the Mishnah says the maximum number of what? Of chiyuvim, in this case chatos, because if it's misa b'mezid, you know, you can't kill the guy 39 times till after maybe... Maybe after Trias HaMesim you can do it, but even then I think you can only kill him twice. But the answer is, in Shogeg, how many chatos would he be chayev? And the answer is 39 chatos. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell me. We're going to have to work very hard to understand what about the toldos, and why are two different avos enough to generate two different chatos? That itself is a business. But the bottom line is chiyuv. Chiyuv Agavra. We want to know how many chiyuva we could slap down on this person who engages in all the malachas. He does them all. Again, I wouldn't fault him for that. Maybe he forgot the malachas. Maybe he forgot that it's Shabbos. Okay, if he forgot that it's Shabbos, that's more complicated. Then he's only chayv one chatos. But let's say he knows it's Shabbos, but he forgets the malachas. So how many malachas did he violate? The Mishnah said he violated 39. And how many chatos is he going to bring? 39 chatos. So the entire thrust of the Mishnah is to establish what I call chiyuv hagavra. Therefore, the Mishnah uses the terminology hazorea. Hazorea chayv. Hachoresh chayv. Hazorea vehachoresh. Chayv shtayim. And you go on and on and on until you hit the magic number of 39. The Rambam is not interested in that. The Rambam's goal is not to determine how many chiyuvim are. The Rambam is interested conceptually in defining the malachas. And that's what the Rambam is going to continuously do over here, starting with Perek Ches and going on, and he's going to try to define each malacha unto itself. He starts with Choresh, then he goes on to Zorea, and then Kotzer, and so forth and so on. But again, even though the technical answer to our question is correct, I still think the conceptual answer is more geschmack. I like it better if I had to give a grade to it. That's because of my orientation. Okay. So what do we have?
Please, to what you're saying in terms of the Mishnah Bet, Mishnah Gimel afterwards, he does go back to define it by malachos, because it could be at that point he wants to categorize them for the punishment.
Meaning, who are we talking about? The Rambam?
The Rambam afterwards, he does say, afterwards, he doesn't say the...
Correct.
He goes back to the lashon of the Mishnah. He doesn't say Harisha, Chafira.
Right. Well, look at Perek Ches Halach Aleph as far as Shirim is concerned. So the Rambam writes in Perek Ches Halach Aleph Achorish Kol Shu Chayev. Perek Ches Halach Beis Hazoreh Kol Shu Chayev.
Right.
And Perek Ches Halach Gimel Hakotzer Kigro Geres. So now the Rambam is shifting already to the Chiyuv Gavra, and therefore he falls back on the Lashon HaMishnah.
He does it purposefully, because he talks about Malachos, and Malachos is a noun. So first he lists a noun, what are the acts itself, and then he talks
Correct.
About the person doing it.
So then it's a technical reason why he says Harisha, Zriya, Ktsira, etc.,
right.
Because he's just interested in classifying the Malachos.
The problem is the language of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah also says avos malachos, we're talking about the right. act, and then it switches over.
Right.
To
the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah says avos malachos, it's not impressed by that. It still shifts over to hazorea. And I thought maybe the Mishnah was trying to mechadish that we paskin like Rav Shimon, or at least Rebbe accepts Rav Shimon malachos shem tzricha legufa is pot. Now, what I photocopied for you are 2 pages of introduction to to this part of Perek and Klal Gadol. One comes from the Schattenstein Gemara, and I think they did a fascinating job here. And the other is from the Masifta. The piece from the Masifta is fascinating to me because of this issue regarding Meleches Zorea. But even before we get to Meleches Zorea, let's just review, and it's always good to have a chazara, of the basics. The basics as far as Meleches Shabbos are concerned. Okay then? So Meleches Shabbos is derived from Shmos Perek Chaf Pasuk Yud Lo Sasekol Melacha. And every single Melacha, with the exception of one, has a change in the object. A physical change in an object that exists in the universe. Which is the only exception? Hotzah. Hotzah is left for the end. The Mishnah leaves Hotzah out, so to speak, to pick up the slack at number 39, because the Mishnah wants to tell you that Hotzah is what's called a Melacha Grua. And if you take a look at Tosus at the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos, and the first 8 blot of Masechta Shabbos are dedicated to the subject of Hotzah, and I'm hoping, if Yirtzeh Hashem, B'lineder, that we'll get back to Hotzah. Hotzah is like a world unto itself. It's literally a year's project, Hotzah. There, Tosus says that Hotzah is a Melacha Grua. What makes it into a Melacha Grua? You know, we don't want to be prejudiced against Hotzah. But the answer is that Hotzah is just a change in what? In the location. Correct. There's no change in the physical object. And the one who has a lot of problems with this on the side is Reb Shimshon Fol Hirsch, because he was of the opinion, both in his Chorev and his Pirush Al HaTorah, that the essence of Meleches Shabbos is to change the universe. That's what we have to abstain from. And to change the universe, he says, means to make some sort of physical change, physical improvement, because we require Meleches Tikkun and not a Meleches Kilkul. But where does Hotzah fit into the picture is somewhat difficult. And we're going to have to assume that the Shini Rishus is itself a radical change in the object. I don't know how that's going to work out with the famous Tolda of Hotzah, which is called Moshit. And in Moshit, when I stretch my arm out and I give it to you, but that's a sugi already, not even the first Perek of Shabbos, that's in Perek HaZorik. Be that as it may, we have this concept of Lo Sasa Kol Moloch. Fascinating, for those of you who might have been with me on the last day of Shia before today, there's an amazing chiddush in the Chazon Yechezkel of Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky, based on a Tosefta, that the extra word kol malacha is coming to teach you chatzi shir. So I want you to keep that in mind, because Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky wants to make a distinction between bishul and kosev, and he wants to say that in bishul the shir is a grogeres, and if you cooked half a grogeres, I understand very well why chatzi grogeres could be awesome in a Torah. But in the case of Ksiva, where he writes one os instead of 2 osios, Rabbi Cheskel says that even the Tosefta would have to agree that that's not an Isur Torah, because there's no way you can link together the first os with the second os. Mashenkin and Bishol, how do I link them together?
Same pot.
Correct, I put them on fire. The same fire. So you remember this discussion. Okay, so that itself is a fascinating issue. Okay, today I want to ask a kash on the Minchas Chinuch. I photocopied the Minchas Chinuch for you, and we'll get to that shortly, Mirza Shem. But before we get to that, let's just mention that although the Mishnah only mentions Avos Malachos, what else do we have?
Toldos.
Now, Toldos. Are they derived from Svara, or are they derived from Gzeiras HaKosov? Interesting, the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Bava Kamma establishes Avos and Toldos in both Nezikim, Arba is Nezikim, but there are Toldos, and in Shabbos. But The Sugya Masechet Shabbos on Daf Mem Tes makes a fundamental distinction between this. And this is the opening line of the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Kamma, that with regard to Nezikin, we don't need any pasuk. Once the Torah says, Shar, Bar, Mavir, and Hever, we logically, Al Pi Svar, can derive toldos. But in the case of Shabbos, the Gemara says, We Asu Achas Mehena, the extra mem, Hena, Zu avos mehena zu toldos. So the Shita Mekubetzes at the very beginning of Bava Kamma wants to know why is it that when it comes to toldos in the Zikin, we don't require any derivation, any yalfusa. When it comes to toldos in Shabbos, we need a derivation. And the Shita Mekubetzes gives a fascinating answer, and he says the following: that with regard to the Zikin, all we care about is what
the results
exactly. But with regard to Shabbos, there's a tremendous emphasis not just on the results, Harvey, but also on what?
The motivation.
On the Maisa. No, leave out motivation. Again, if you hit me with motivation, I'm in deep trouble, because motivation requires a whole other shiur. But we discussed here two dimensions of Melechus Shabbos. There's the Maisa. In the fancy language of the Achronim, it's called the Tzuras HaMaisa, the Tzuras HaPu'ula, and then there's the Totzas HaMaisa. With regard to the Zikin, if you're guilty of setting up a Hezek, we start with the Hezek and then we go backwards. And we can attribute that Hezek to you, to your negligence, and therefore your Chayav. I don't need a pasuk for that. Again, I need a pasuk for each one of the arba avos nezikin. But once having established the arba avos nezikin from the parsha and mishpatim, then logically I can derive any other hezek that's attributable to you. So if you were the cause of the hezek, you're chayv. Now again, that leads us to a whole discussion about what's called grava b'nezikin. But leave that out for a moment. When it gets to Shabbos, grava is clearly potter in Shabbos. And that we know. I mean, all the heterim that we have on Shabbos for cholim and so forth and so on. You know, you've seen these what do they call them? Bicycle? Not bicycles.
I don't know,
electric carts.
What are they called?
Kamloids.
Yeah. What are they called?
Electric carts.
No, not electric. Okay. They're those who don't work electrically, but somehow they have like a battery operated kind of thing.
That's electric.
It's also electric. Yeah. But it operates with grama, right? And many things that you've heard of the organization called Somet, you know, they're trying to solve the technological, you know, through technology, the issues of Shabbos for Cholim and things like that. It's all based on grama.
They have a gramophone.
Correct, a gramophone. Why would grama be putter in Shabbos without even a shadow of a doubt? Because in Shabbos it's not just what? The Totsah Samaisa, but there's also the Tzura Samaisa. Here's a perfect example. Would it make any difference in the Zikin whether I cause the Hezek with my right hand or with my left hand? Are you with me on this? It would make no bit of a difference whatsoever. But in Shabbos, again, that's for my Tuesday, Thursday Shia, the Gemara says in the 12th Perek that if you write two Osios with your left hand, unless you're a lefty, then you're Potter. So Joel, perhaps, would be chayav for two letters with his left hand, but Berzon would be part of the two letters with the left hand, and reverse, if we reverse it to the right and the left. So why is that called shinui? Shinui is a chisaron in the Tzuras HaPa'ula, right, in the Maisa. But that's enough to exempt you in Shabbos. So in Shabbos, where there's a loch of Tzuras HaPa'ula, then clearly to the tolda is different than the av in terms of the Tzuras HaPa'ula. I'm going to, press the refresh button, I'm going to use the following paradigm for a tolda. It's called Mashke Zeroyim. So you have already a seed in the ground that was seeded before Shabbos or by someone else on Shabbos, and now you come along and you add water to it. So you're chayav for the tolda. Can I derive that bisvaro without yalfusa? What's the answer?
Yeah.
A flat no. Why not?
Could.
Because what's the difference between Zoreh and Mashke Zeroyim? Are they similar or are they not similar?
They're different.
Absolutely different. In terms of the Tzuras HaPa'ula, no one can argue that I confuse the two pa'ulas. You know, when you talk about, for example, Meleches Tochen. So there are certain suras hapa'ula that are very, very similar to toche. And you don't even know why they're called toldos. They're so similar. But maybe they have differences in terms of the ultimate goal in the toksah. That's a different kind of a toldo. But when we're talking about Zeria and Mashke Zeroyim, they both have the exact same purpose. What's the tachlis in both cases? Whether I plant a seed or whether I water a seed. Correct, that's called Gidul Hatzemach. So from the perspective of the Totsas HaMaisa, the Av and the Toldor are one and the same, but from the perspective of the Tzura Sapa'ula, they're radically different. And for that I need a Gzeres HaKos of Achas Mehena, Achas Ovos, and Mehena, Mehena Toldos. So keep that in mind as we introduce these concepts. The next concept here, of course, as an introduction to Masechta Shabbos, is Meleches Machsheves. That too is derived from Mishkan, where the Torah says that Moshe called upon all the artisans in Klal Yisrael to bring forward a Meleches Machsheves. And the question is, how many halachas do we derive from Meleches Machsheves? I would suggest that we derive 6. The Masifta claims that we derive 7. And I want to fight with him on the number 7, on the last of the 7. So let's just go quickly through, anyone who wants to jot this down, it's very meaningful. Number 1, he says that Shinui is potter because it's not a Meleches Machsheves. In other words, the Torah in Meleches Machsheves puts a great deal of emphasis on the way you do the pa'ula. There's a what's called a Meleches Umnus, the way you do it. You know, an Umun does it right. And if you want to get the best results, you do it in the right way. That's the Kedarka. That's Kedarka. The Leital wants to know, why do I need Meleches Machsheves to derive the Halach of Shinui? We have Halach of Shinui in Kol Tarkula. If a person, for example, eats chalev in a very unusual way, let's say he eats chalev chai, you know, it's raw, or it's chalev cham, then it's sorif as a goron, he's potter. Why do I need Meleches Machsheves then? The halacha of Kedarka, the requirement of Kedarka, is a universal halacha. It's not a Shabbos halacha. So the Iglei Tal has a fascinating presentation here to explain what the breakthrough of Kedarka and Shalom Kedarka is in Meleches Shabbos, derived from Meleches Machsheves. Perhaps we'll get a chance to do that in a different occasion. Number 2, Rabbi Shimon holds that Meleches Shein Tzricha LeGufa is potter. Why? He's lacking Meleches Machsheves. Here it has nothing to do with the Tzura Sapa'ula. The Tzura Sapa'ula is identical, but here it has to do with the Machsheves Ha'ose Melacha. And the Gemara in Chagiga that Rabbi Sachnowitz mentioned earlier uses Rabbi Shimon, Melacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa Patur, as the paradigm of Meleches Machsheves. Why? Because of the chisaron of machshava. So we have one chisaron in the Tzuras HaMaisa, which is called Shinui, and now we have a chisaron in the Machsheves HaAdam, that's called Meloch Shein Tzricha LeGufa. Next, Tosus Hishita is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dor Sheinim is Kavin is Chayiv, that's only in Kol HaTorah Kula. But on Shabbos, Dor Sheinim is Kavin is Potur. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, says Tosus, why? Because of Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves patters you up if you don't have Kavanah. And again, this is very similar to Rabbi Shimon's Meloch Shein Tzricha LeGufa. The Torah requires a specific Kavanah, specific Machshava. Then, we have a fascinating sugya in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey. We'll get to it in Mirtz Hashem soon. Soon might mean 6 months from now, I don't know, but ultimately, and that is with regard to Mekalkel. And the Gemara says that Mekalkel is potter. Again, the Gemara in Chagiga that we started with, Meloch Shein Tzricha LeGufa, according to Rav Shimon, that's Meleches Machsheves. But what do we do according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds Meloch Shein Tzricha LeGufa is Chaya. So what do we do with Meleches Machsheves? The Gemara says, Lifturei, to patter him up in the case of Kilkul, and even Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon in Meloch Shein Tzricha LeGufa, and he's Machayev, he agrees that Mekalkel is potter. However, the Gemara on Daf Kuvav establishes that there are 2 exceptions to that rule, at least according to Rabbi Shimon. What are the 2 exceptions? Shol Chovel U Mavir. You remember? That Chovel U Mavir Achayev, even though he's makalkel. So it means that the requirement of Maleches Machsheves is suspended with regard to Chovel Mavir. And this is going to be fascinating because we have to ask the question, what would be, according to Rav Shimon, in Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, in the cases of Chovel Mavir, if I assume that Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa is a Ptur Maleches Machsheves? And if I assume that according to Rav Shimon, Chovel Mavir Chayv even without Maleches Machsheves, or Raya Chayv even in Kilkul, then therefore you should be Chayv even in Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. The Gemara never says that. But what the Gemara does say is that Misasek B'chabura, according to Rav Shimon, is Chayv. Even though Misasek is a Ptur of Maleches Machsheves, there's a universal Ptur of Misasek. For example, if you didn't have Kavonas HaMaisa, you didn't even know you were eating something. You thought you were swallowing your own saliva, and you turned out that you were eating chalev. In such a case, you're potter and call it tarkula, except for as far as culture came then. But that's as far as misasek universal. But then there's a misasek of maleches machsheves, and that would apply whenever you do a malacha b'misasek, with the exception, says the Gemara, of chovel mavi, that misasek b'chabura is chayv according to Rav Shimon, because there's no requirement of Maleches Machsheves in Chabura. Then we have what's called Melocha Miskayemes. Again, we get back to Tzomet and the technology in the hospitals. You know, they write with ink that eventually will disappear, correct? It'll erase itself, erasing ink. And therefore, it's not a Melocha Miskayemes. This is a Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Habon, and Ritz Shem will cover that Mishnah tomorrow. So why is it Melocha Sheinah Miskayem is Potur? Because it's not a Meleches Machshavas. There, we're not talking about Machshavas HaAdam. It's not similar to Melocha Sheinah Tzricha L'Gufa according to Rav Shimon. It's not similar to Dovah Sheinah Miskaven according to Rav Yehuda. It's not similar to Misasek. But rather has to do with the Chashivas of the Melocha itself, the Totsas HaMelocha. If the Totsas HaMelocha is such that it's here today and gone tomorrow, or maybe it's gone within Shabbos, I don't know, you have to know, then it's not a Melocha Chashuva, and it's not Meleches Machsheves. So basically we can take these five categories of Pturim and classify them into three categories. Category number one was Shalok Kedarka, and that has to do with the Chisorn and the Tzuras HaPa'ula. Category number two is in the Machsheves HaAdam, and that encompasses three subcategories, namely Malach Sheinah Tzrich L'Gufa Rav Shimon, Dor Sheinah Miskaven Rav Yehuda, and Misasei. Then we get the third category of Meleches Machsheves, and that's in the Cheftza, the Chashivas of the Cheftza, of the object that you're creating. If you've created a change that's very transitory, that's not a Melocha Chashuva. Then we mention Mekalkel. Mekalkel is not a Melocha Chashuva, so that's number six. Now the Masifta adds number seven. And that is Chatzi Shir. And he suggests that Chatzi Shir is a Chisaron in Meleches Machsheves. He's right, but I think he's wrong. What do I mean he's right? He's right according to the Rashbam. The Rashbam in Masechta Baba Basra Daf Nun Vav says that if you do a chatzi shir of melacha, it's not a meleches machsheves. Meaning the chashivus of the melacha requires a full shir. Less than a full shir is lacking in chashivus. But Rashi here in Perek Klal Gadol says that the chisaron of chatzi shir is not a chisaron of meleches machsheves, but rather chatzi shir is chatzi shir. That just like in Kol Tarkul there are Shiurim, so too in Shabbos there are Shiurim. And if Rashi is correct, that Chatzi Shir has nothing to do with the Ptur of Meleches Machsheves, just the Ptur because he didn't do the Shir, then what conclusion is Rashi now going to derive? What principle that applies in Kol Tarkul to Chatzi Shir, because we pass like Rav Yochanan at the end of Yoma, is going to apply in Shabbos as well? Chatzi Shir, also ben HaTorah. According to the Rashbam, that Chatzi Shir Melacha is not a Meleches Machsheves, then it's Mutam in HaTorah. Because all the categories that we mentioned of Chisaron and Meleches Machsheves are Potter. And so too, Chatzi Shir, according to the Rashbam, will also be Potter. But if you hold like Rashi, that Chatzi Shir is awesome in HaTorah, then you have to assume that Rashi did not accept the premise that Chatzi Shir is a Chisor de Melechas Machsheves. You have the full Melacha, but on Chatzi Shir. Hello, what? The Torah set up a shear, just like the Torah says, you're not chayef for eating a half a zayis of nevela, so you're not chayef for carrying a half a grogeres from Rishus to Rishus on Shabbos. But nevertheless, it's awesome in a Torah. It's awesome in a Torah, says Rashi, based on the sugi at the end of Masechta Yoma, that's from Yochanan, that Chatzi Shear is awesome in a Torah. The Rashbam would disagree with Rashi. He would insist that Chatzi Shear is not awesome in a Torah on Shabbos, because when it comes to Shabbos, you need a malacha. And Chatzi Shir is not a malacha. A malacha has to be a malachas machsheves. And if it's Chatzi Shir, it doesn't have the chashivus of a malacha. So at least according to Rashi, I would have erased the last category that he has. But I still think the number 7 is a good number. And I'm going to try to insist as we go along that there's another category of malachas machsheves that he overlooked. Fine. Now let's talk about the Gemara itself. Let's leave the list of the Malachas for the time being, and B'li Neder will have to come back to this list to go through it with a fine tooth comb. But let's just talk about the first line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Arboim Chaser Achas. So the Gemara says Minyan Lamali. Why do I need a minyan? You know, it's pretty clear that there are 39 malachas. So if the Mishnah hadn't listed the 39, okay, I need a minyan. And then I have to rack my brains to figure out, well, what are the 39 malachas? But the Mishnah, in fact, lists all 39 malachas. I can count to 39. Well, Rabbi Yochanan, and this Rabbi Yochanan appears elsewhere in Masechta Shabbos, in two different places, She'im ha'son kulam behelam achas is chayav al kol achas v'achas. So there was one halama, and he's chayev for each one of the malachas. Is it possible that he could be chayev 40 chatos? Let's say, for example, not only was he zorea, but he went a step further, and he was mashkiz roim. We said that mashkiz roim is what? Tolda. Is it tolda of zorea? He did both the av and the tolda. So what's the answer of Osai?
No. Mm-hmm.
He's not chayav for a 40th chatos. And that, my friends, is a machlokes tanoim between the Chachomim and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you do an av and it's told you chayav shtayim, and therefore the number of chatos that you could be chayav on Shabbos is limitless. According to Chachamim, if you do an av and it's tolda, eino chayev ela achas. And therefore, the maximum number of chatos that you can be chayev on any given Shabbos, if we maximize all your shgaga, would be what? 39. You can never be chayev more than 39. So the Mishnah is not just helping me to count the 39 malachas. The Mishnah is telling me that the maximum number of chatos that you can be chayev is 39, which means that we accept the sheet of the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, and told of the Mokum Av does not register a new carbon chat. Somehow, we'll call it the swallow it up theory of the Chachamim, that the Av swallows up the toldos. Rabosai, I want to ask you the following question. What's the chiddush of this Mishnah? If you're going to hold that the chiddush of the Mishnah is lafuki Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mishnah wants to tell you that you're not chayav for a tolda b'mokom av, I find that a little bit odd, because first of all, we never passing like Rabbi Eliezer against the Chachamim. Second of all, Rabbi Eliezer's shita doesn't even appear in this Mishnah. And thirdly, I'm not sure if the Mishnah is involved in toldos at all. The Mishnah doesn't mention toldos. The Mishnah is focused on what? On avos. Say nachinami, in terms of avos, if you repeated the same av twice, let's say he was zorea on the left side of his field, and then he was on the west side of his field, then he was zorea on the south side of his field, then he would certainly be chayev only one chatos. Why? Because the Gemara establishes in Masechta Kresos that if Behelim Achas, you violate the same lav twice, you only bring one chatas. So therefore, in terms of Avos Molochos, I certainly would know that, as again, that the maximum number of Avos Molochos, as I count them up in the Mishnah, is what? 39. So again, unless you can assume that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is Lafuki more than 39, which is true according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mishnah wants to take a, you know, stand up and object to Rabbi Eliezer and tell us that we don't accept Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore told us it's not going to be Machayev. The maximum number of Chatos is only 39. If you go with that Mahalach, then my question is not a question. But if you're going to empathize with me, that the Mishnah is not talking about Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah doesn't have in the back of its mind Rabbi Eliezer, then what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Again, it's less and more, right? In the old symbols, we used to have the... Do they still use those? Or I'm dating myself. What are those called? You know, less than or more than, right? So if I give you a number...
Greater than.
Right, greater than or less than. Mm-hmm. So if I give you a number, 39... So you could always ask me two questions. One question is greater than 39, meaning could it be greater than 39? What would be the flip side? Could it be less than 39? So again, if you want to tell me that the Mishnah is fighting against Rabbi Eliezer, then the Chiddush is that it's not greater than 39. Is there another way of interpreting this Mishnah?
Not less than 39, right.
What would be the Havmin to say if he violated 39 Malachas? He would not be Chayv 39 Chatov.
You forgot it was Shabbos. You did all the
Malachas. No. We're not talking about a case where you forgot it's Shabbos. Then you're in trouble. Because then the Mishnah makes no sense whatsoever. Because the Mishnah at the beginning of Klal Godel, which we didn't learn, on Daf Samach Tes, establishes that if you forgot it's Shabbos, you only Chayv what? One.
So
we're talking about a case, right? He forgot 39 malachos. Okay, I'm oversimplifying, but let's say he forgot 39 malachos. What would be the havamina that he forgot 39 malachos? I would have argued, if not for this Mishnah, that he b'chayv less than 39 chatos.
Because maybe he b'chayv just one for each of the siddur of the past, and then one for the guardian.
Okay. But that's an interesting. But I thought there's something much more simplistic than that, but yet much more profound, I think. Even though it's simpler, but I think it's more profound. I would have said that you chayv
one.
One. Why one?
It all stands for
again, if I eat dam, and then I eat dam, behelim machas, how many chatos do I bring? One. Why? Because I repeated the same avera. So multiple repetitions of the avera, of the same avera, only generate one chatas behelim achas. How many averas did he violate here, Rabosai, in our mission?
Shabbos, 39. One.
Ah, you say 39, but you're already in the maskana. But I want to know the halamina. I'm trying to justify who is this phantom, you know, adversary that the mission is fighting against.
One.
I looked into the Torah, and what did I find? How many averas did I find on Shabbos? Only one. Nothing more than one. So, Rabosai, you know, Yechiel's already going to give me an answer to my question, but let me formulate my question. What's the difference between the following two scenarios? What's the difference between eating dam twice, or chalev twice, or whatever it might be, and meleches zorea and meleches choresh, or meleches zorea, meleches kotzer, and you keep going for 39? I don't see the difference. I mean, Yechiel's going to tell me the difference, but offhand, I would say that they're both the same. Why are they both the same? Because in each case, you violated one avera multiple times. But multiple violations of the same avera only generate one chatos.
How did you find the word avera?
Do you want to answer, Maya?
Well, Harish is not the same as Zaria, is it?
Well, from the perspective of the Avera, I wouldn't say that somebody who's Choresh is any different than somebody who's Zoreh. You follow what I mean? In both cases, he violates the same Avera, albeit with a different Surah, maybe with a different purpose in mind, but it's the same Avera. So again, I just want to point out, Rabosai, that when we talk about the Havamin of this Mishnah, that the Mishnah is coming Lafuke, we don't have to introduce Rabbi Eliezer Lafi Ani Yistanti. Forget about Rabbi Eliezer. I'm going to assume that it's a milsa de pshita that if you do zorea and mashkes roim behelim achas, for sure you're only chayav one chakas. But I think the havamina was that if you do zorea and kotzer, etc., etc., you'd be chayav only one because you're violating the same avera. So comes on Yechiel and he says, nay. What's the logical conclusion and the premise that underlies this Mishnah? Just without.
Very nice.
Again, before you embellish it, but just simple mathematics. What is the Mishnah telling me?
There are 39.
How many Averis are there in Shabbos? There are 39 different Averis. And this is fascinating. I'll tell you why. What's the punishment? Alan, are you with me a little bit? You're dozing off, but I need you now. I need you desperately. Alan, what's the punishment for doing a malacha on Yontif?
Malchus.
Wrong.
Thank you.
Meaning you're right, but I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Okay.
He's right, by the way. Just I don't want anyone walking out of here thinking that he's wrong. You do get Malchus, but I'm going to tell you why he's wrong. Conceptually, we have a principle in Masechta Makis, which is called a lav shebichlolos. Can anybody here define a lav shebichlolos? You only get one malchus for... Excuse me, you don't get any malchus for a lav shebichlolos. I made a mistake, sorry. That was a slip of the tongue. Who can give me an idea, definition of what lav shebichlolos is? Anybody? One avera in the Torah, but many different averos, distinct violations that are derived from one pasuk. Okay, so losochel al adam is called the lav shebichlolos. There are 15 different ways you can violate losochel al adam. Some of it has to do with davening, some have to do with karbanos, some have to do with different fashid nezach. No, if the Torah says with regard to yontif losasu kol malacha, if I assume that there are 39 different averos, which reflect the 39 different malachas. Again, I'm not entering into Ochel Nefesh, right? Then, how would you classify lo sasu ka malacha? So, lav shebichlolos. Because again, my definition of lav shebichlolos is any lav that encompasses, you know, it's an umbrella organization, there's one lav in the Torah, but it generates many different averas. That's called a lav shebichlolos. We ain't looking on lav shebichlolos. If that be the case, then on Yontif, you shouldn't get malchus. And for that matter, on Shabbos, you wouldn't get Malchus. It's like he gave Mahasrol a Malchus. Stuch my high. The answer is that somehow, lo sasa kol malacha is not a lav shebichlolos. And that's against our Mishnah. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Our Mishnah says that there are 39 different averos derived from one lav in the Torah. How do I know that our Mishnah is telling me that? Because otherwise, how many chatos would I be bringing from violating 39 malachas?
One.
Only one. The fact that each malacha engenders its own chiv chatos is proof positive that there are 39 different averos. Now, if that be the case, then we have a classical lav shebichlolos. So Tosfos says something amazing in Masechta Yontif, what's called Masechta Beitza. Tosfos says that the reason why you get malchus for Yontif is because it says osasu kol malacha, and the extra word kol indicates each separate malacha as a separate lav. Again, this is a question for Monei HaMitzvos. According to Tosfos, I have to, you know, when I count 613, I got to count Shabbos 39 times over, and Yontif 39 times over. No way that you're going to end up with 613. But Tosfos basically says it. He says that there's a separate lav on each one of the malachas. And Tosfos says you have to say so, because if you don't say so, it becomes what? A lav shebichlolos. The only way I can give you malchus for violating malacha, says Tosfos, is if I interpret the pasuk as saying that each and every malacha is included unto itself under lo sasa malacha. So it's a lo sasa, lo tizra v'shabbos, and lo tiktzar v'shabbos, and lo tachrosh b'shabbos, etc., etc., etc. It's mevel again. In the Hava Mina, we thought that you basically, when you do 39 malachas, you're repeating the same Avera, and therefore one Avera generates one Chatas, even though you repeated the Avera 39 times. The Maskana is, no, there are 39 separate Averas. But Bosei, turn for a moment to Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. Tosis Dibra Maskil Mishum Zorea. Now again, we're not up to the sugya yet. The Gemara wants to know what are the toldos of Melecha Zorea. And the Gemara goes into various discussions about that. So for example, you have what's called Mavrich and Markiv. Okay, again, this is all futuristic for us. I don't know what's going on there, but different kinds of grafting and so forth and so on. And the Gemara establishes that Yechad Mishum Zorea. So Tosis says, Ein lohochiach mikan did tzorech lahasros atolda mishum av. Now, what I'd like you to do for me is take the word ein at the beginning of the sentence of Tosa and put it in brackets. Because obviously Tosis has a hochacha which he's rejecting, but what I want to analyze with you is the hochacha. How does Tosis understand the words mishum zorea? If you bracket the word aim, leave out the word aim. Let's make it yesh. Okay, yesh lo hochiach mikan ditzorech lahasros mishum ha'av. Correct? Is that the language?
Yeah.
Okay? So where did Tosis get that hochacha from? Which again, he's going to work hard to reject.
Where's Mishum?
Oh, no. But again, how did Tosis understand the words Mishum Zorea? Tosis adding a tremendous chiddush in the words Mishum Zorea. If not for Tosis, I would have said the following. That Markiv and Mavrich are toldos of Zorea. That's what Mishum Zorea means. You know, you want to tell me he's chayav for Markiv, for grafting? Tell me what Malachi violated. Markiv is not in our Mishnah, so it's not one of the others. The answer is told of what? Mishum Zorea. Again, this is good. Another man, the other is going to say maybe it's not a told of Mishum Zorea. You have to see. But what did Tosis add here? How did he understand the words Mishum Zorea? Way beyond that. It's not just telling me that you're chayav for this action as a tolda of this av, but has tremendous halachic significance. You know, it's not just some sort of, you know, conceptual. If I was teaching a class on ovis and toldos, and you want to know this tolda, what does it belong to? You know, doing matching, what it's a tolda of which av is Mishum Zorea. No. Tosa says this has tremendous halachic significance. Namely what?
That's right. In punishment.
So spell it out for me. A man is about to be Markiv. What do I say to him? If I want to bring him to court, and again, you know, the Eidim themselves have to do the skila, and I'm going to give him skila for violating Shabbos. I have to tell him what?
Sorry.
That what you're about to do is Melecha Zorea. So watch this, Rabbosai. Tosis has a Havamina that the laws of Hasra are formulated in terms of what? Not tolos, but ovos. And Tosis vacillating back and forth. Do I have a hochacha? Do I not have a hochacha? Tosis wants to know, is it possible that Mishum Zorea means that I must absolutely give him a Yasra Mishum Zorea? Otherwise he's not chayv. Because a Hasra requires tolda b'shem ha'a. Mr. Bosa, I want to ask you the following question. What logic would compel you to assume that a tolda requires Asra b'shem ha'av?
He said, where does it say in the Torah, this tolda?
Okay, so one way of learning it the way Alan wants to learn it is ignorance. You know, it's the whole purpose of Asra, is to make sure that he's aware of the repercussions, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if you mention a tolda, The only problem with that is that I'm not sure how many times the Torah prohibits me to be Zorea on Shabbos. Anybody know how many times that appears in the Torah?
Zero.
So then, you know, by your logic, Alan, I don't even know if you've solved your problem. If the ignorance of the person is, well, you're telling me that I'm Chayav Mishum Zorea, right? So the Havamina, maybe I would think I should be Master him Mishum Markiv, and he says to me, wait a minute, I didn't see that the Torah prohibited me to be Markiv. So I'm going to tell you, don't be Zorea. So the guy's going to say the same thing. I don't see that the Torah prohibited me from being Zorea. Again, you might argue that maybe it's a little easier for him to understand that Zorea is a violation of Shabbos, but maybe Markiv is not. I don't know. You know, now we're really, you know, we're stretching it into little. So what would be the svara to say, either A, that a Torah requires Asra in its own name, or B, that that the Torah requires a Asra in the name of the Av?
Beautiful.
You hear what the man is saying? This is Torah's MS. The question is, how many Yisurim are there in Shabbos? According to the Chachamim, how many Yisurim are there in Shabbos?
39.
According to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that if I do Zorea and Mashkiz Royim, or Zorea and Markiv, according to this one, I'm Chayv Shtayim, how many Yisurim are there in Shabbos? Infinite. Endless. There's no end to how many Toldos you have. Maybe today will be Mechadish New Toldos. I don't know. With modern technology. Who knows? Ah. If I hold the Chachamim, that basically, what's the magic number of Yisurim of Averis that are on Shabbos? 39. And a told is nothing more than a different form of violating one of those 39. Then the Halach of Hasra requires that I mention to him the name of the Yisur. And how many Yisurim are there in Shabbos according to Chachamim? 39. Markiv or Mashkiz Rav is not on the list. There is no such Yisur. Elo what? Through Mashkiz Rhyme, I violate the Easter of what? Zorea. Of Zorea. Is Mamela have to be Masra on the Talmud, B'Shem Ha'am, because the Shem Ha'isur is the Shem Ha'am. But if I go with Rabbi Eliezer, then Rabbi Eliezer holds that how many Isurim are there in Shabbos? There are an infinite number of Isurim, which means that every time I violate a Talmud, I'm Chayav for that Talmud. And even if I violate the Av and it's Talmud, I'm going to be Chayav Shtayim according to Rabbi Eliezer. Then it comes out that he should be master the Toldah, the Shema Toldah, because the Toldah emerges. Again, it works like this. If you go like this, Svara, that you should be master the Shema Toldah, then it's like a Tzvei Dinim over here. There's one din in how to derive the Toldah, and then there's a din in the Toldah itself. Like, for example, Uber Yerech Imo. Up until what point?
Birth.
When does the birth, whatever that means halachically, right? Yotzerov Padakta, whatever it is. At that point, the Uber emerges as an independent element, standing on its own two feet. Again, maybe it can't stand yet, but you know what I mean, figuratively. Same things with regard to toldos. Enochinami, a tolda, in terms of how I set up the tolda, how I derive the tolda, is like Uber Yerech Imo. It's the Av. It's a different form of the Av. And without the Av, the Tolda doesn't stand on its own two feet. But once I derive the Tolda, and I've established the Tolda, now the Tolda stands on its own two feet. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, the Tolda is a separate Yisur on Shabbos. And every Tzuras HaMalacha generates its own Shem Avera, with its own independence. Oh. So if this be the case, Rav Osa, I'm thinking out loud, there's a fascinating Tosfos at the very beginning of Bava Kama. I think I photocopied for you the daf on Bava Kama. See if you have a copy of it. The Gemara asks the following question. What's the nafkamina between an av and a told? Right? Why do we need avos and told? So the Gemara says the following. According to Chachamim, there's a fundamental difference between an av and a told. If I do an Av and then another Av, I'm Chayev Shtayim. If I do an Av and it's Tolda, I'm only Chayev one Chatos. If I do two Toldas of the same Av, I'm only Chayev one. But that's not true according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if I violate toldos, each tolda generates its own chatas, even if those two toldos belong to the same av, or even if he violates the tolda b'makom av, didei, its own av, he's chayv shtayim. So the Gemara asks the question, Ma'ika l'Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'ika min avos v'tolda. So the Gemara wants to find an afka mina between an av and a tolda, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Tosis says, V'im tomar, why is the Gemara baffled by this question? V'neima, you have this, it's, I think I added an arrow to the, did I not bring in the photocopy? I thought I brought it in.
Yeah.
No? Where did I miss? Maybe I left it on my in my stender.
Here, it's here.
No, that's something else. Oh, all right. I know I did the photocopy, maybe I left it in the machine. So Tosa says, V'im tomar, well, what is the Gemara baffled by? I have a simple answer to the question, why you need ovus and toldos. Neima, did afkaminya le'inyan asra? She'tzorech lahasros, atolda, mishum avdi day. Oh, shkoyach, Michael. I knew I did the photocopy. Where was it, in the machine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, figure. Okay. So again, Rabosa, as I said to you before, if you could hold on to these pages, it would be a tremendous help for me, just logistically, because I find the photocopying, you know, it steals too much of my time. So maybe what we should do as a gift from the AMIC Learning Center is give out folders. That's it. If everybody got a folder and I talk to you like you were kindergarten children, I would say to you, put your name on the folder. And then don't walk out of this room until you put all the pages into the folder.
We're going to have to give out a pen then also.
Yeah, that's true too. That's true. Okay. See, here Tosis is Kasha. What do you mean the Gemara is baffled? What's the difference between an Av and a Tolda? Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you have to be master in the Tolda, B'Shem Av. So Rabbi Eliezer, what would be the...
Why would he say that?
You want to disagree with Tosis? Okay, good, Rachel. But I just wanted to show you the Tosis Kasha, that you shouldn't think I invented this. Tosis v'im toma, what is Gemara looking for nafkamina between an av and a tolda? Nafkamina l'inyan asra. She'tzorech lahasros a tolda mishum avdi day. And how does he know that? You know, like our Gemara says that markiv mishum zorea, and mishum zorea means that in Hilchas Asra, you have to give him asra v'shem ha'av. No, so that would be a simple nafkamina between what? Between the Av and the Tolda. So Tosis says, I'm just trying to find the language here, Yeshlomar, the Hachi Park, Mishum, my master day, Shehei Chayim. Okay. Harvey, is that your wife?
I don't know.
She might be waiting for you downstairs.
Yeah, I think so.
So you better go. If that's your wife, you better go.
Or you get another warning.
That's right. Okay. We're starting a new year, so Harvey, you got to be good to your wife. You know. So we'll see you tomorrow, Harvey?
Yes, I think so.
Do you want me to hold on to these pages for you? Let me hold on to this for you.
Five.
Okay. You were right, Joel. You predicted it. Alright.
Hello.
Tosis wants to prove that you don't require a hasra on the tolda mishum ha'af. And the Gemara in Perek Tolin asks the question, Meshamer mishum my master day, Meshamer is a tolda, so Rabbah says it's a tolda borer, and Rabbi Zera says it's a tolda of marakid, so it sounds like you need a hasra on the tolda b'shem ha'av. Tosis says no, that's what the Gemara doesn't have in mind. There's no need to give hasra b'shem ha'av, but rather you got to get it right. You know, if you mention the wrong av, let's say for example, if marakid is a tolda borer, and you mentioned meleches, if Meshamer, excuse me, is a tolda of marakid, and you mentioned meleches borer, that's not a valid hasra. So you don't have to mention the av. Got a lot of music today. And we don't have to mention the Av, but we can't get it wrong. You can't get the wrong Av. If you get the wrong Av, then it's not a valid Hasra.
Yes.
So again, so Tosus is...
I left some books here.
Oh, where are your books? Yeah.
Is it in the
book? This is it?
Yeah.
So, Hav, you want me to file that for you?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll take care of it. So do me a favor, Gershon. Put this inside the bag. Hold on to the bag. And we're going to find a shelf for you here, Harvey. Tomorrow I'll tell you where the shelf is. We're going to write your name in neon lights over here.
Thank you.
So Harvey, leave it on this chair. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay? I worked this all out with Mrs. Brown before the shoot. Okay. So now, Rabosa. According to Tosfos Maskana, you don't have to mention the Av in the Hasra. You could be Masur B'Shem Atolta. And therefore the Gemara is back to square one. What's the difference between an Av and a Tolta? According to Rabbi Eliezer. So Joel, how does this fit in beautifully with what we've been saying? Because how many Surah are there in Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer? Infinite. In other words, every Tolta, once it's born, it stands on its own two feet as a separate Isra. And if that be the case, there's no need to mention the Av. The Av is history. The Av just is, you know...
Generates the
Tolda. Once you've generated the Tolda lives on its own, it breathes its own air. And therefore, there's no need to mention the Av.
Right.
Oh. Tosus says, V-O. Now, I want you to focus on the last line in Tosus. V-O. Dinotea umevashel... Ein sorach lahasros mishum av. V'im hisra mishum tolda chayav. And then he says, v'afilu hachi lo chashiv lei b'perek klal gadol. Now let's work backwards. The last couple of words in Tosfos, afilu hachi lo chashiv lei b'perek klal gadol, means our Mishnah, the Mishnah that we're learning. Notea and Mevashel are not mentioned in our Mishnah. Okay, that much I understand. Why is that significant to Tosfos? So again, working backwards, Tosfos says that I want to prove from that that ain't Sarach Lahasros Mishum A. Now, how did Tosfos understand the number 39 in our Mishnah? We said before the number 39 is how many chatos you'll be chayav. How is Tosfos understanding the number 39?
How many apples?
How many asros there are? In other words, it works like this. If you need a hasra and a tolda mishum av, then how many, what's the maximum number of, let's say I'm an investigator, you know, I'm paid by Besdin, by the government agencies, to investigate all violators in the shop. So I have to study all the hasros that I give me a list of all the hasros that I could possibly have to give in order to condemn desecrators, Shabbos desecrators. How long would that list be? Let's say according to our Mishnah.
39,
correct? Why? Because anything beyond the 39, if you hold that you need Hasra B'Shema Av, doesn't generate Hasra. The maximum number of Hasros that I have to generate is only 39.
Equal to the number of Avos.
Right, equal to the number of Avos. Because if you hold that Be'inan Hasra B'Tolda B'Shema Av, then I have a new chiddush here in our Mishnah, not Hilchus Shkagos and Chatos, but Hilchus Hasros, that I need, that the maximum number of Hasros that I have to know about, I need to know about, is 39. And there's no other Hasra in Shabbos that's relevant beyond 39. And that would justify the conclusion that you need a Hasra on the Tolda B'Shem Ha'av. And if that be the case, Rabosai, if you need a Hasra B'Shem Av, then the Gemara's kasha in Bava Kamma makes no sense. The Gemara asks, what's the difference between the Ovis and Toldos? And the answer is that in the case of Asrolos, I need to know what the what the Ovis are, because I have to give Asrolos b'shem Av. Tosfos says that's not true. I don't have to give Asrolos b'shem Av. And I'll prove it to you. Exactly, because Noteya Mavasha were omitted from our Mishnah.
They're synonyms. They're synonyms for exactly the same act.
But again, are we on board? Are we on the same track here? In the following question, here's my question to you: is Noteya an Av or a Tolda? Is Mavashal an Av or a Tolda?
It's an Av.
Excellent. It's an Av. Now, if you're telling me that the 39 malachos that are listed in the Mishnah reflect the 39 hasros, and there's no number beyond that, and you're going to reject our understanding that the 39 malachos that are listed as avos are telling me the maximum number of chatos. No, they're telling me the maximum number of hasros, which means that I need a hasro on the tolda b'shema av, which is going to fluke us up with this sugya b'avu kama that asks the kasha on Rav Nachman on Rabbi Elizabeth, my tolda. Tosa says, if that be the case, there's a big mistake over here, because the Mishnah says that how many hasros do I have to learn? 39, that's not true. I have to learn more than 39. Because if a person is Zorea Zera, if he's taking a seed and he puts it into the ground, then I have to be Master B'Shem Av, which would be what? Zorea. But if, on the other hand, he takes a shoot, for lack of a better word, in Hebrew I think it's called a shtil, right? And he takes it and he puts it in the ground, then that's not called Zorea, that's called what?
Noteya.
If a person bakes a piece of bread, a dough in the oven, then he's chayav mishum ofer. If on the other hand he takes a pot and he puts his shoulder in the pot and he turns on the fire, he's chayav mishum mevashel. Then the Mishnah is inaccurate. The Mishnah could not possibly have told me that the magic number is 39, because the magic number is 41, and it may go up and up and up if we find other cases of what we call avos that are meyena av, right? Meyena avachas, but each one is radically different than the other. I mean, we have to figure out why those are avos and not told us. That's a different question. So Tosfos says, I'll prove to you that it's incorrect to assume that from the fact that the Mishnah establishes 39, the Hasra and the Told has to be B'Shema Av, and the Avos are only 39. Here are two cases of Avos, which are not listed in the Mishnah, which would jack up the number if you needed Hasra B'Shema Av. The answer is, I conclude from that proof that the number 39 is not relevant to Hasros at all. As far as Hasros is concerned, you can give Hasros b'shem Atolda. There are infinite number of Hasros. The Mishnah is not calculating the number of Hasros. Is Memela, the Gemara's cash is a very strong question. I object. According to Rabbi Eliezer, this whole distinction, this categorization of Ovos and Toldos, there's no difference between an Av and a Tolda. To the same extent that an Av generates a Chatos, a Tolda generates a Chatos. To the same extent that you could be Master B'Shem Av, you could be Master B'Shem Tolda. And therefore the Gemara wants to know what's the difference between Ovos and Toldos according to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, not tomorrow, but on Thursday, I would like to go through this Minchas Chinuch that I gave to you. Wednesday. Go through this Minchas Chinuch with you and try to figure out what is the machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos regarding Melech Hazria. Is there a shear of Melech Hazria? Is there not? And then we'll continue with other malachas here, especially Choresh and Kotzer, in terms of the introductions. Those who have time, please take a look at Rabbi Kivega's Chidushim here on our Mishnah, and also go through these pages that I gave you if you haven't done so yet. Okay then?
So we're left with no answer regarding Rabbi Ezra.
Yeah, so the Gemara has a strange answer which requires a lot of understanding. The Gemara says, Hachta havi b'mishkan korilei av, Hachta lo havi b'mishkan korilei tolda. But what is the nafka? So that's the next Tosfos, if you want to take a look. We'll get to that eventually, Joel, but it's not from... I just wanted to shtel on this 39. You know, what's the significance of the number 39? All right, now we have to find...